No, he never goes. He's,
So that one has to be the one to win that right this year.
Oh, it's on 7.
Okay, hello and welcome to the Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting, Thursday, January 18, 2024. This meeting is being conducted via Zoom or in person at the Division of Forestry and Wildlife on 19 East Kauili Street. We already have quorum, so that's good. I want to welcome Iini. I haven't seen you in ages. He's supposed to be a while ago, but anyway, yeah, it's all good. All board members, staff, applicants, and testifiers can choose to participate either in person, like at Kauili Street, or via Zoom. Okay, can I call for roll call, starting with the council members first. I'll go first. Scott Mahoney, representing Kohala. Anybody else? Go.
Kodesh Homel,
Kalani Blakemore, Puna.
Trey, Hilo.
Iini Kahakalau Hamakua.
La Crivello, large land owner.
Well, in respect to Allah, since I really think the most important part is covering all the geographical parts. So, if you don't mind, I just like to sort of like assign you until they fill that spot to the Kona section. That would be a great help if you don't mind, La.
La Crivello, Kona, me large
Okay,
land
good.
owner.
Right on. Okay, Omea, since you was late, can you do the pule?
Pule kakou. Auhea e nga maho kalani, e mali umai leia leo pule, e leo ha. A he leo homai kai no hoi, e ma lama mai a mako e pale tanu, a puka ika, au, ma lama lama, a puka.
Malo.
Just for you, Chairman Oni Amene.
Malo this. Going over the minutes. Hope everybody had time to go over the minutes and anyone like to move to accept
I'll make
the
a
minutes.
motion.
Oh,
I'll
okay,
make a
sorry.
motion.
Sorry, Kenny. Yeah, go
We
ahead.
accept the minutes from October 2023.
Any second?
Second.
Second by Des. Discussion? Done. Good. Okay. Passed. Yeah, before we start the next
Are
business, what?
we supposed to vote?
Oh, yeah. Well, good. Let's vote then.
Aye.
Aye.
Everybody, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Okay, motion passed. Minutes accepted. Before I start the business section, just my same reminders I give every meeting. Stay on point, speak with respect. The EV to me is priority. I mean, we can go all over the place, but I'm always looking at protecting the EV. Don't speak over people and try and be recognized so we don't get, but right now it's sort of like it's working out really well. So the conversations are going really nice. So let's start with business. The first business is descendancy recognition application of Keone Alvarez to an unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at 15-1570 Maku Drive, Hawaii Paradise Park. Kioni, you want to say anything about this? Oh, you're muted. Kioni, you're muted.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Mahalo nui for you guys' time. Basically, I'm just coming to you guys just for recognition for becoming, I'm a descendant, but in recognition for culture descendant for another burial cave that is in our Ahupua, and I'm already recognized as a descendant to our burial cave, and this other one is not even a mile, about a mile away. So I just wanted to take that into my kuleana to make sure that our iwi kupuna is being protected. There's another one that's above us, not even a quarter mile away. That is still going to be, that's another issue that I'm going to bring up to the board. But this one that just came up, I just want to make sure that I'm there to give them a voice and make sure that they're protected. Already we've been recognized in 2005 by the Island Burial Council. We're recognized by the state, and then also by OHA as beneficiaries of these burials. So I'm just kind of adding that on to that to make sure that our iwi kupuna is protected.
All right. Thank you, Kione. The administrative rules require that the applicant provides evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or buried in the same Ahupua or district with unidentified skeletal remains. In the case of this, like Kione mentioned, he was previously recognized as an applicant as a cultural descendant to an unidentified skeletal remains located in the same Ahupua in 2005 or 2006. So anyways, SHPTI recommends that HIBC recognize Keone Alvarez as a cultural descendant. In the discussion, anyone want to speak on this issue?
The site was previously known, but this is just some new
fund. So, yeah. What was that? Who's that talking? Keiki. Who's just speaking?
Keiki, they can't hear your question. You wanted to know if this was previously discovered.
So this burial should be previously identified. I mean, we're notifying the state before anything happens to this burial. Yeah, so it was brought to my attention. It's been known for many years. And I just wanted to make sure that before anything happens to it, that we wanted to make sure it's protected. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys the scope on things because I kind of, so when we reported the burials, actually our iwi kupuna, the burial cave, or the ANA, we reported it on October 15th. This has been known for many, many years of this burial cave that was there. But then because they just felt that there's another family that felt that, that I needed to know to make sure that it's going to be protected. So I decided to make sure that we notify the Island Burial Council and also the State Historic Preservation. On October 15th is when we reported it. I called the police to make sure that, we're following all the right procedures of making sure that they do a police report. They did a police report on it. They actually called DLNR. DLNR came out that evening and they made a report as well. The report that I have for HPD is 23-09-8043. The DLNR report is HA-23-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0 00803. It provides all the names of the people who were there when I reported it. When they did come out, they also informed me later, because it was evening already. It took DLNR had to come from Kona. So after the police report, police did their thing and wrote it down and took our information. DLNR came out. By the time you know it, it was like 7 o'clock at night or 7:30 at night. So we had to wait there from 3 o'clock in the afternoon all up until like 7:30 until DLNR could get there. After when they reported it, they said that they're actually going to call the State Historic Preservation Department and have an archaeologist come out, which I know already the whole protocol of what's going to happen. So I said, great, you know, just let us know or let me know, because I am a descendant. Let me know before you guys come out. Because I want to be there when you guys reporting with the archaeologist. And the reason why I wanted to be there, because this is already, I'm protecting, you know, two other burial caves, and especially our other one, the lack of recording our Ivi Kupuna. And I wanted to make sure that nobody touches anything, step on anything, and make sure that that our Ivi Kupuna is going to be treated right. I find out, and already when we reported it, it was on a Sunday. And they said, okay, well, we're going to let you know if an archaeologist come out. So I said, okay. So I was hoping that the State Historic Preservation gives me a call before they come out and do the reporting. I didn't find out until Tuesday from HOPPA, that's the Hawaiian Paradise Parks Association. And they're wonderful. They're willing to help me to protect this place and all this stuff and make sure that, you know, it's done. It's a different association board. Anyways, but I found out that from the general manager, his name is Larry, that the State Historic Preservation Department came out already, and they did the reporting, and they did their monitoring of, I guess, basically, you know, what's in the cave and everything like that. I was kind of upset with that because, like I said, you know, this is going to be like the third time that the State Historic Preservation has screwed up, and I have to go back and I have to find out that they didn't measure how big the cave was. They don't know how many EV was. You know, I'm not too sure if they took things from the cave, and according to other police officers, that they told me that they did on one of other burial cave. So I'm kind of just right now, I get kind of like a mixed emotion. Yeah. So about that. So I told Kea about it, and, you know, I wanted to make sure. And then also I wanted to try and just get their report, you know, who was in the, you know, I know Chris, Nicole and Noel was in the cave with him. So I wanted to make sure, what did they do? You know, you went in there, right? And already we gave protocol and gave a whole kupu and all this stuff. So there's a different respect. Okay. So,
first of all, my question is, who's the owner of this 15-15? 1570 Maku Drive.
So right now this is Ainalo, and it's not Maku, it's a sliver. It runs straight through our Ahupua Waikaikai Iki runs straight. So from our Ahupua, it runs straight through Maku all the way to the Kai, yeah. But who owns it is the association owns the property.
And by protecting all these EVs that you say you're protecting, how is that protection? How are you protecting these EV? Fencing, whatever. I mean, how are you doing this?
Well, I own several of the properties, yeah, that of our EV Kupuna. So at one time, it was owned by a private landowner or several private landowners. And over the years, either they don't make, they don't die unexpectedly because we kind of told them what we're trying to protect and preserve, and whether people believe it or not, but the beneficiaries of their lands and things like that, they just signed it over, or they allowed me to have ownership of it. So today I'm the steward of it. So I own several pieces of property with that is over the burial cave. And then I own another one that weirdly that I own it, that it's over another burial cave. And that's what I want to protect. And that issue is another issue. But what I'm talking about it right now is just this issue of protecting this burial cave, which I know, and it pinches off. So it doesn't go on and on for miles like ours ones, or not ours one, but another one. But I wanted to make sure that this one was being documented appropriately. And I just wanted to be there as a descendant. And I made sure that everybody knew that I was one, and I just felt that it was really disrespectful for the state just to go in there and just to go and do your monitoring, because you know what, I had to do all this over again. Now, when you're doing this for over 20 something years and continually to see that nothing's changed and the same problems keep coming up, you know, somebody gotta, you know, be at fault for the decisions that's being made. And why is the decisions being made when the police, in the police report, the Leonard report, it has my name in there already saying I am a descendant calling upon that. And then for the state to just come in and just do something like that, I don't think that was respectful. You know, and we talk about, you know, being respectful, you know, that is one thing. And especially, like you said, we keep protocol, and there's a way when you approach these kind of things that you just don't go in there. Especially when you got families involved in it. This is not for them.
Well, you know that you're not recognized as a cultural descendant for this site as of right yet.
Yes. You know that, right? Yes, I do know that.
I know, but you seem like you expecting a lot of shifty, and you expect everybody to follow your protocol for this site when we're here to either give you the culture or not give you the culture. But anyway, let me talk to La. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you. I Keone, good to see you again.
Thank you.
I know that you were in maybe last year, maybe a little longer than that, for a different purpose. So it's good to see your face again. And it's always good to see descendants reclaiming and claiming their pilina to place, and that the kuleana that comes with that. And just wanted to acknowledge, you know, with that kuleana, I understand there's a lot of kaumaha. And so, you know, having you be recognized as a descendant of one, so both of these are for the same ahupua'a, I understand that, but my other understanding is they're different TMKs, yes. Different landowners. Mm-hmm. And so really good. Just want to commend you for, you know, taking the time to navigate this process, this Western process, the state's process for getting recognized for each of these different TMK, because mm-hmm. although we have that older land division system, we're looking at new landowners changing hands and such. And so that in itself, I think, is you taking responsibility for the protection of your Iwi Kupuna. So mai ka ino on that side. And I also understand that it's pretty easy to see just through the fact that you're already a cultural descendant of this ahupua'a. It should be simple enough that it's pretty obvious you'll be recognized for this separate TMK for this other burial cave for these unidentified individual remains. And mm-hmm. I understand, and I guess I just wanted to acknowledge, you know, in the process that you were in of reporting it to the police department, to SHPD, I understand that you were already a descendant, whether or not we recognized you as mm-hmm. such on a legal framework. And I understand the frustration that comes with that, because sometimes people having that grace for people because they're in there, they're wearing their hat that they're wearing, and they're kind of looking at what their due diligence is, and they forget sometimes that yes, we have a process for recognizing descendants legally that holds us to a higher standard. And so good that you recognize that that helps elevate your status as a descendant. It makes it so that you are ensured certain consultations and communication from Ship D. But that sometimes, you know, because, you know, Kia and Chris and Nicole and Sean, they're all super good people, but sometimes they got to do their job in so many places and they're stretched so thin. So sometimes I think it kind of goes over our head, like, you don't have to talk to this person because they're not a recognized descendant yet legally, but they are a descendant. We know you're a descendant. And so I can't really say an apology on my behalf because I'm not involved in the process, but I understand your frustration in that aspect. And I'm sorry for the way that that, I'm sorry for the way that that system works, because I understand that that's not, it's not how we function as a community. And so it shouldn't happen that way. And I'm sorry that it did. I just wanted to acknowledge that, because I get what you're saying. It's very frustrating. You've had to do it multiple times over multiple decades. So, you know, the good thing that's coming from this is I think we can make a motion to recognize you as a culture descendant of this place. And that definitely helps. It's just helpful to substantialize that claim that you make, not just for Ship D, but for yourself and for other Ohana in the area and for any landowner that this may switch hands into in the future. But thank you for coming in. And I want to open it up to other council members to see if they have anything they'd like to say. But just mahalo you.
Mahalo, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, one of the things I tried to get to you, Keone, is that we all, like, right from the start, number one priority is the EV. You know, so the process of Shifty with it, how they handle that situation may be different from yours, but they still, their number one concern is the EV. And so is yours. And so is every one of us. So, you know, the only thing I took offense was, you know, just downing Shifty and downing Shifty. You know, maybe they never follow the way you thought it should be handled. And I'm pretty sure communication had a lot to do with it, because you was trying to communicate. Nobody else answered you. And then they went in there and did what you thought was at Pono. So, you know, just to make sure that we're all on the same level there about caring for those EVs and stuff. So I commend you for all your work in protecting these fines and stuff like that. I just want to make that clear that, you know, I think Shifty with Sean and Kerem, they all do a good job, but they have their own process of how they handle it. I just think the communication part was what broke down, because you tried to, according to you, you tried to at least be involved with it, you know, so apologies for that. But anyway, anybody else? Kalena?
Yeah, I wanted to also, I understand, like, what Lau was saying, how you feel, and I appreciate that you felt disrespected. But we also do work closely with the Ship D staff here, and went to school with them, did BAs and master's program with Sean and Nicole, so, and even Noah. So I have a relationship with them, and I don't think any of them would ever intentionally disrespect anyone. I also have a background working in cave inventory and monitoring at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And
from okay, Kalamai, can I interrupt? Sorry about this. I've been going to, I know this process inside and out. I've been doing it for a long time. Okay, I know where the mistakes happen, and this was unacceptable. I understand what your stance is, and you're saying that the state is going to fall through and everything like that. Looking at it as a, they already know who I am. They know what the protocols should be. As a considerate thing, they have my number. They could have called, right? So I've been, you know, with protecting something like this, and I mentioned that this protocol that went into that ana, right? So if you're gonna respect us as a descendants, yeah, and you know who we are, and we're, and even before, you know, we even being recognized, we were already recognized. It's just that the process of the state recognizing us, but as a Lahui, we gotta have respect for other families, that this is their kuleana, this is their responsibility, and we take our responsibility very seriously. This is our tradition, this is our practice. I'm not gonna go into your ahupua and just go into your burial cave and just go maho'oe and not knowing what, yeah, you're qualified on a state level, but as a ohana level, as a spiritual level, as a tradition level, you don't have that right to go in there and go visit my ohana, okay, without me. And then you're going to go in there and do what? So when I asked them just for the report, I just want to know what you guys did when you went in there. That's all I'm asking for. DLNR, DLNR, HPD, HPD gave me their report, and then STELA. And numerous times that I have it recorded, because I do a spreadsheet every single time that I make a call, every single day that by time of what we did. So I have it all written, all in spreadsheet of the emails that was passed through. There's numerous emails that I sent to Kea just asking him, what is, can I have the report? Because I just kind of want to see what you guys did. Good. Okay, good. Go, you know, you guys did, you guys monitoring, but I'm curious about what you did. Did you measure the cave? How much Ivi Kupuna was in there? You know, do you have that information for me so that I can further my research and further my protection plan for our Ivi Kupuna? And nothing was, you know, given to me. And this is not the first time that this is going on. This has been going on since.
Okay, let me hold you off. Okay, okay, enough of that. Okay, we're gonna have to move. Like I said, right now.
Done speaking. No, I was interrupted, and I gave you the floor, Keone, but I wasn't done yet. I don't want to move on. I feel like I have some thoughts to contribute. Thank you.
But sorry, but I just wanted to say mahalo nui, and I just want, and sorry for interrupting you, but I just have to just say my mana'o.
Hold on, Desmond. Can I finish?
Yeah, Kalina, go ahead.
Hey, we know you're older. And I mean no disrespect. And I think it's best if we move forward with open, good working relationships. I'm trying to acknowledge that. Also, my background is in archaeology, and I worked in caves in the national park. I've mapped lots of caves. It's a lot of work, and it's specialized. And I get the details that we need so we can look over time and see if something has been violated, if everything is untouched, and it's a good, it's scary. It's a commitment to have to crawl on your belly and measure caves and count EV or count whatever's in there, whatever cultural resources are in there. For me personally, I would be so careful, and it was so secret, to make sure where that information went. And I get what you do. But if somebody else came forward that we didn't know or had a different agenda, and Shift D just handed over information, if they did map the cave, I'm not sure they're actually equipped, the archaeologists they have, to go down and crawl on their belly and map a cave and then hand a report over. You are you qualified? Are you an archaeologist? Do you know how to map a cave? So if you're going in with them to escort, you need to know too what you're stepping on. You have to be careful what may happen on your end. I'm just trying to say it's a bigger picture. There's a lot of moving parts. Yes, I get you were disrespected. Shifty's going to have to reach out to you and apologize. You'll have to develop a closer relationship with whoever's going out there. If it's Nicole, work with Nicole. Go to lunch with Nicole. Say, hey, girl, next time you go out, I really want to be with you. Will you please call me and let me go check with Sean and make sure you have permission, so I can be there with you. It's just unfortunately how if we're archaeology and burials are so secret and so tenuous, and we have to be careful. So I know for you and me, my ohana's down there, my Ivi Kupuna's in there too. And I want to know who is going in. And I wouldn't want somebody to just come up and say, well, here, I this is my Kuleana, so show me the report. I mean, I want to make sure that I'm okay with you seeing the report too. You know, I'm glad you're here. I'm really glad you're here. I had other questions. Do we have a site number yet for this burial? If it was an inadvertence, so to speak, I don't recall being notified. Were we notified?
No.
Okay. So I would appreciate, as a burial council member, if there is something that was discovered, especially in the Ahupua'a Moku district where my Ohana is from, I want to know. Site number, I'm concerned about HPPOA. I already know they have a lot of problems, and this Ahupua'a Waikahekahe has, I believe, 30 acres or 20 acres that they're supposed to save on the side to make a cultural village and keep it preserved. So now I'm worried. I'm wondering, how close is this cave next to this village preservation site that they have not even allotted yet for an archaeological inventory survey? So this is kind of popping more questions. I'm glad you're here to be recognized. And yeah, like Las said, we can do that. But now there's more moving parts we have to add to the stew pot of what's going on the HPPOA Aina. Because from my experience, they were not very courteous to our culture. They were disrespectful from what I saw on the board when I went a few months ago to testify. And I wondered, is there any current threats that are happening right now? Because I know HPPOA wants to put in a water park. They want to put in a grocery store. Is this cave area under that area where they're projecting that they want to do some commercial development? Those are my questions and my thoughts. Thank you.
Desmond, how well? Thank you, Kalina.
So this struggle has been going on has been going on for 131 years. So
what you share is not any surprise to our community now. Many of us have been trying to fit that round peg into the square hole which was designated as the Western culture site. And until laws are changed, unless we hold the system, then the story is going to continue for another 100 years. Much appreciation what we do, but I've heard this story many times here in the Borough Council and ever since Honokau. I appreciate your work, but I want to call on Kia because the staff was pointed out in this discrepancy. So I'm going to ask Kia to respond to this.
Morning. So yeah, I think the call came over the weekend. You know, we're not working on the weekend. So when we found out about it, I think it was Monday. I need to go and look back, but I think it was a Monday that we went out. And so, you know, if we get the call Monday morning, the first thing we're going to do is respond to the site. You know, if we have time, yeah, we can try and look for descendants. But the first thing we want to do is get to the site. And you know, Keone, I hate to say this, but I don't remember every descendant for every Ahupua on this island. That's a lot. You know, we knew there was somebody wanted to report some EV, so we went out. We just went out. We did first and foremost respond. Also, I want to say that, you know, our staff is not Mahaoi. All four of us did not go into the cave. Our one archaeologist went in the cave to document what was in the cave while the rest of us waited. You know, we don't make a show out of it. We don't all go in to go look and peek. We don't do that. Our one archaeologist went in, Nicole. She went in specifically just to look at how many individuals she thought was in there. One, to verify that they were human, and two, how many individuals were in there. And so she came out. I did give you that minimum number of individuals in the email. I didn't give you a full report because we don't have the full report yet. Part of the reason we don't have a full report is because this isn't being treated as an inadvertent discovery, in that it wasn't reported as an inadvertent discovery. discovery in the regular process. You know, a regular inadvertent discovery is something that has been impacted by development, was found because of grading or grubbing, or exposed on the shoreline. In this one, this is a we're handling this as a burial registration, such that somebody's reporting that they know where EV are. And so it's going to go through the burial registration process so that we're aware of what where the EV is, and should any development or any permit plans trigger the process, you know, on that TMK, we're going to say, oh, okay, we know that there's a burial there that needs to be addressed before this permit can be issued. I know development is going on the adjacent property, and that's partially why, you know, that one individual reported the EV. He wanted to let, you know, us know that, hey, there's development going on next door. We just want to let you guys know there's EV here. But the EV wasn't found as a result of impact from development. And so it's being treated as a burial registration. And with that, we will be getting a site number. So, you know, it is taking a little longer than it should, but we are working on getting a site number. What else was are there
any other chaos? I just
hold on, La. Let me finish.
Oh no, yeah. I'm asking Kea to explain. So because it's a burial registration, it's gonna be considered previously identified, which means it'll go through such a judge. Yeah. Can you explain that part to him?
Identified as a burial registration. So when it looks like he disappeared. So whenever it does come up as the result of, you know, the regular process, it will come to the burial council as a previously identified burial.
Okay. Anybody else?
Anybody else have questions for me?
Well, since he's left, I think we can move on with the agenda.
Maybe it was an accident, he fell off.
I've been waiting on three pieces of that.
Well, I'll watch the screen in case it pops back up.
Just want to come back, please.
Well, like we was discussing, you know, I admire the concern of him and everybody else. You know, my point was, he's here to be recognized as a cultural descendant. He's one step ahead of everything by complaining about the process. Yeah, you know, I can see. I mean, that to me, I couldn't see why is he getting into Shifty's face when he's not even a cultural descendant yet. You know, so. That's the point I was trying to make. That he's here to be one. He's not. He's claiming all these other sites and stuff like that. You know, when he said my burial, I my eyes lit up. I'm like, nobody owns these burials. He may own the land, but he doesn't own the burial. Nobody does, and especially when you're a culture descendant. Good La.
I think that the reality of the situation is just that he is a descendant, and has recognition as a descendant very close by. And it really just comes back down to two simple concepts. The first being that, you know, our priorities, I would say, for me personally as burial council members, are to the Iwi Kupuna and to their mo'o. And as a mo'o, he has an invested interest far above the rest of the community. As a descendant, he has a responsibility. And the frustration that he has is very natural. We see it all the time. We feel it all the time with our own wahi. And I think I have a different understanding of the processes. So I'm able to look past the frustrations to understand that, you know, each of us as individuals are only one person functioning under whatever hats we're functioning under. I have personal relationships with Shifty employees, and I know that they have to function under their hats and that they're just one person each. And sometimes there's mistakes made or communication barriers or whatever it is. And so sometimes, even for myself in different processes, you know, there's a lapse in communication, but it's really easy to understand the frustration of a mo'o in protecting their iwi kupuna in these processes that I think we all agree aren't totally functional and aren't perfect. And that's probably why all of us are here. It is because we want to participate and support improving that process and improving communication. Aloha e Keone. Sorry, we're just kind of finishing up discussion. I think our responsibility is to iwi kupuna, but it is also to their mo'opuna. And I think the reality is the process is not perfect and we are all stuck under it. And that is frustrating for every single one of us. So I just want to kind of redirect, because I think personally the system that we're in also almost intentionally has us bucking heads in a way that we wouldn't if we didn't have to function under it. I just want to again acknowledge Shifty employees doing the best that they can with the tools they're given, and mistakes are always gonna come into that in communication and things. But also for us functioning under our hat and the process that we are, you know, we don't have the jurisdiction to do everything we want to do either. And then for descendants like Keone who are doing the best they can under the same processes. And if we can remember that we're all doing the best that we can and really just focusing on the fact that today we are here for a positive thing. We're recognizing a descendant, and giving him that recognition is going to allow a couple new things to be considered, and support his ability to take care of his kupuna and our ability to support him doing that. And I'm hoping that it's okay with everybody if I make a motion. I just want a motion to recognize Keone Alvarez as a cultural descendant, and accept the descendancy recognition application of Keone Alvarez to the unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at 15-1570 Maku'u Drive, Hawaiian Paradise Park, Waikahekahe Akupua'a, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, at the reference TMK.
Okay, motion made by law to accept Keone as the cultural descendant. Any second?
Second.
Who's that?
Traven.
Oh, Traven. Okay. Second by Traven. Any discussion? Okay. Call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. The motion has passed, and congratulations, Keone. And I hope we can all learn to work together now, especially now that you're culturally descended to that site, which was my point, you know. So now, you know, and now I've seen your concerns and stuff. So I think you guys can be working a lot closer and a lot better in protecting these precious EVs of ours. All right, and thank you again.
I just wanted to say mahalo nui, and my whole intention is not to, you know, be rude or anything like that. But like La said, you know, there's a lot of kaumaha when you go through this, and you know, with the emotions and over years, and you know, you have to. So there's a lot of emotion, but I just wanted to say mahalo nui for the recognition, for recognizing me as a cultural descendant to our iwi kupuna, you know, and we're all in here for the same reason, to protect them and protect our ancestors so that the next generation have something to look forward to. So I just wanted to say mahalo nui for you guys' time. Really appreciate it from my heart and our kupuna iwi.
All right, mahalo. Yeah. Hey, item B, request by recognized lineal descendants Keiki Aloha Kekipi and Keone Kalawe that the Hawaii Island Burial Council deems sensitive any information related to burial sites SIHP 50-10-46-4251 And 21794 and a portion of 21792 at Kumukai. Keki, anyone want to discuss this? Keki? Or Keone?
I can see better and hear you better.
Yeah, you guys got to come up, I think. I can't even see who's raising their hands back there.
I just wanted to say the only reason this is back on the agenda, I know at the last meeting you guys made the vote, but it had to come back. It wasn't agendized on the last meeting. Uh-huh. And so just so that, you know, just so that we follow the process, right. I wanted to make sure it was agendized to be voted on.
Okay. Yeah. Now I understand.
That's why it's back on.
Do we need to do the motion again?
Yeah. Can I ask a quick question? Was there any reply from the Attorney General's offices to what deeming it sensitive, what protections?
There wasn't. And I did talk to Uncle Scott about this yesterday. I did reach out. I did send an email to Melissa Goldman, the last deputy AG that came to the meeting. And I asked her if she would be available. I didn't get a response, but I did also mention that one of the primary concerns, or one of the questions was with regards to making a BTP sensitive. I didn't get a written response or any response within the meeting today.
Yeah, I know we brought up questions about whether we could have even did what we did the last meeting. So this is going over the rules and stuff. And with the shifty records, I'll read this thing. Shifty records relating to burial sites shall be made available to public inspection during regular business hours, except that shifty records relating to the location and description of burial sites, human skeletal remains, and burial goods can be deemed sensitive by a county and exempt from the public disclosure requirements. A, location records include information regarding the island district of Pu'ao tax map, where the burial site is identified. B, description records including information describing burial site features, human skeletal remains, including genealogical information or burial goods. These are all considered considerations that we can make as far as deeming this part of the burial treatment plan sensitive. So, good luck.
Just for the record, I wanted to reference the specific area that you're talking about, that under our roles and responsibilities, just in case anybody else wanted to look, and just for record. But it's for Hawaii Administrative Rules 13300-4. So it's under 13-300-24 is the duties and responsibilities of the burial council. And then under that, or it's not dash four, but it's, it is dash four. So under 13324 Roles and Responsibilities F, it talks about us being authorized, or the burial council authorized, to deem records related to location and description of Native Hawaiian burial sites sensitive, and then exempt from the requirements of section 92F-12 HRS, just for record.
Yeah. That's what you're saying, right? Yeah, that's the same thing I was reading from. It was exactly.
Yeah. I was just spitting out the numbers.
Well, I don't want to go that far, but since you did, that's good. Keki, you want to say anything, Keki or Keone? I think you got to come up front, Keki. You way too far back for this audio thing. Well, you know what, Keki, unless you want to wait for the communication part that's gonna follow this, we can put this to rest now and then come to you guys back on the communication. Is that all right? Keki.
Can we come back in?
We're on this one right now. But when you want to talk, maybe we'll be right here. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We need a motion then to formalize. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, great.
So I would like to make a motion that we formalize deeming this burial treatment plan sensitive and to being what we had requested in October. Formalizing that motion back that we made in October that we voted on unanimously. To keep this BTP publicly sensitive.
I second that.
Thanks, Desmond.
Okay, motion made by Kalena to deem this information sensitive, and seconded by Desmond. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Motion passed. Okay. C, discussion of Hawaii Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities. Anyone want to discuss anything that pertains to this? I brought up the point about bringing in the AG, you know, from the last meeting and all this whole month with Kea, and like he said, he still hasn't had any response. You know, that's one of the weaknesses that we have. We run into questions. Like one question I was just wondering all this time was, you know, with the cultural descendants, they always go back to the Aupua, but according to these rules, they say Aupua or district. So now I'm looking at the district must be Kona. So if we talk in Kiholo as the Aupua, the guy can still be cultural if he's in the same district of Kona. You know, that's a big, broader platform for a lot more people can be involved. You know, I always was an assumption that, but I wanted the AG to answer that. So, you know, that's not going to happen today. That was about it. But, you know, that's one of our shortcomings. The next shortcomings has to do with just filling in our 9 slots. You know, we have Iini, who was in, and then she was out, and then we find out she should have been in October. This is, I mean, somebody got to pay attention to us. I mean, a lot of these boards suffer the same problems, you know, just not getting filled and not getting recognized and we're not given the assistance that we supposed to be afforded, like the AG or like filling in the slots that we are. We only have 6 now. We're still missing 3. So anyway, that's just my concern. I want to bring that up. Anybody else like complain?
Yeah, I agree.
Go ahead, Galena.
I want to complain. That is my question too. That the first one, the district or Aupua means what? You know, Hinano tried to answer that and I didn't like his answer and it was still ambiguous. And yeah. I think we need to have the AG answer that question. Because then I can apply for almost the whole island. Otherwise, the membership vacancies. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, La.
I'm not too well. So with the Aupua district, I'm a little uncomfortable with the AG and Shifty trying to define that in terms now, because I think the burial council and the recognition of descendants was determined initially by community. And sometimes the way that translates moving forward into modern times gets changed. Because, I mean, if you look at, I'll just use trails because that's what I know. Trails were deemed by the Highways Act of 1892 by Queen Liliuokalani as for the Hawaiian people. That translates today as owned by the state. Those kinds of things on a legal framework, I'm a little uncomfortable with. I think that there's a broader discussion to be had about that one that involves more of our community and our people than it does the legal at for the state and for Shifty. So that's something I just want to put out there on my end. And the other thing, not trying to play devil's advocate in any way, but having seen the way that this can become very limiting to Ohana, Our district term is Moku. I understand that that feels like a broad area. I do not actually think that descendant recognition should be limited to Ahupua'a. In Kona, we have the Ke Kahawai Ole Ona Kona region, and every single one of those individuals, of those ohana, are talked to about things in Ke Kaha, not just in Pāmanamana Ahupua'a or Kaupulehu. There are families, and they know who they are. There are ohana that we go to as the point of contact, as the main ohana of that area. And the families in that district all know each other, and they all know who they're going to go to for, as you know, when they're in that process. But the Ke Kaha region of Kona, or even, you know, North Kona, those families all have an invested interest in that area, and it's not limited to Ahupua'a. And I think the idea of Ahupua'a as a division is a very Western concept, because for us as Hawaiian people, Ahupua'a were not divided, they were connected. This aina is connected to this aina next door, to this aina next door. And so if we look at it and we say, you got to prove that you're this Ahupua'a, then we're creating a divisiveness in our community that I feel uncomfortable with, because I know for a fact that I'm a descendant of multiple Ahupua'a in Kona. And that makes sense, because our families did traverse through these areas. And most people on Hawaii Island have pilina to multiple moku. At this point, you know, we're so far down the line that there is that pilina. The differentiation comes in the type of descendancy, and that's lineal or cultural. When you're a lineal descendant and you prove your relationship to those identified remains, you have set a higher kuleana. And when you're cultural, which tends to be the case, and if you're going for moku, it's going to be broader. Cultural descendants are just involved in the process. They're notified if there's things happening in their aina, and that's never just separated by ahupua'a. Lineal descendants don't have jurisdiction, the same level of authority for every single burial. It's just that individual. And cultural descendants maybe have a bit more of a branch, but lineal descendants are considered cultural descendants for other iwi that they're not claiming that direct ascendancy to. So I think that already is kind of managing the, I don't know, hierarchy of, I don't want to say consultation, but responsibility. Whereas if we, like, the more, in, I guess for me, I think the more of our families and the more of our community who are registered as cultural descendants of moku, the better, because then we're actually having community discussion. We're actually involving our people in these conversations, and it's inclusive of all of the diverse perspectives of that that district. And then it becomes more discussion than individual consultation, and it's not as exclusive. So then, you know, I that's just the issue that I have with limiting it and making it, bottlenecking it more. So I just wanted to
throw that out. So you're in agreement that the culture should include the moku instead of just an all of all.
I think that we should look at moku. I just don't really understand why we would want to exclude people. And then when there's a system that, you know, if you're a lineal descendant, and then trusting our own community to know that when we sit in a room full of people who have recognition to this moku, we naturally in a community understand, but we're going to refer to this ohana of this, you know, with the closer pilina, and we know how to do that amongst ourselves. But having the opportunity to have those discussions, I don't know that I would want to find more ways to leave people out when Kona, you know, or for Hamakua, you know, you limit it to Ahupua'a, then you really it seems like then it's just a conversation between state and those few families, and that's if they get recognized.
Well, that's why I think having the AG here for clarify, because that thing states Apua or district. So that's why I was questioning how broad is this are these inadvertent fines or whatever, you know, pre-existing kind of fines. But yeah, so if we can get that answered, at least that'll help us or help a lot of people that, you know, feel like they shouldn't be have any kind of say in the barrel of something in an opo right next to this. You know, I know I like on the Hawaiians, they don't stay in one opo. You know, a lot of the families from Molokai come over to Makena, and from Makena go up country. So they all just they travel, you know, and yet the family genealogies still follow, you know, over vast areas of land. You know, hopefully, you know, I mean, we could say the whole state could be included with every single fine, but you know, they're just trying to confine that thing to one site, you know. So I think anyway, we still should need the AG for clarification on that. Anybody else?
Just wanted to let law know I that as it stands right now, you can only trace your descendancy to an Aupua, and that I am open to being able to trace it to our moku, because it's very difficult for people to prove they only came from this Aupua when you know it was fluid. And so I just didn't want you to misunderstand me. It sounded like you thought I was opposing your idea.
Oh, no.
As it stands, I don't think we have it written that we go by moku, which is the six mokus on our island. I think it's right now it's just Aupua.
I definitely did not think anybody, I was, I've been sharing this, mana'o with Kea for a while now. Actually mainly because, in prior years, not sure how far back, dealing with descendancy recognition, it was actually Akupua or district, which was moku. So there are plenty of descendants that have been recognized in the past by moku. You still have to claim recognition to the an identified burial, but if you can make that, if you can show that your family lived in, you know, that whole process, show your family lived in this place for a certain amount of time, buried there, or born there and stuff, then you get that recognition. But it used to be that district was considered moku, and it's changed. And so only in recent years, again, I wouldn't specify that it was 2 to 5 or 6 years, in applications has it become more limiting. And that was when, for me, that question came up, because I was supporting some descendancy recognition of individuals who were at Hokulia. Some of the descendants wanted to be recognized, and they weren't being recognized by proving their connection to the area. So it's a new shift, a redefining of the word district, and it's being redefined as stating Ahupua or district, as if district is a translation in English of Ahupua, but it was previously interpreted as moku. And that, so for me, it's just my concern on my end, nothing to do with anything you guys said.
No, you're exactly right, because when I started, we was dealing with moku, and all of a sudden it went right into Wanaapua only, you know. So yeah, it definitely changed. So anyway, anybody else on anything? Desmond, how may I see your arm back there?
Ancestrally, Ahupua is a land division, and it's divided by Ali Inui. Then he appoints Aimoku. Aimoku then appoints Muna Bai, Muna Aina, and then appoints Konahiki. The Konahiki does not necessarily live in an Ahupua, but he lives in a moku.
Mm-hmm.
And because of colonialistic mindset, it was a way to divide the people. Simply that. They probably went into vehevehe.org and you would translate that. But ancestrally, we are part of a moku that lives in Aupua. That necessarily, he said, Scott, they removed Molokai to Kyoka. This Aupua. But I am, you know, so it is statewide by Aina Aupua.
Oh, that's Yeah, fantastic. Thanks. Oh, go ahead, Kiki.
Oh, coming, I think, you stay right on it. I wouldn't let the PNG define that for me because that's not that. Then, two people, when you guys be dealing with politics, and when they're going to say, oh, go redo redistricting for the voting, we'll do redistricting. And then she's going to black that for you. Because when you're in the same place, and then they do redistricting just across the street. See, so you go to the AG, you got to remember, they are in the politics. You can get her opinion. And if they guys spell out that the guys will do redistricting, then you just go the whole thing about how far came from her. That's like you said. Actually, you stay on the right thing, because if you let the AG tell you guys, then you're going to do that kind of stuff. And they thought, oh, you know, the district can grow and people population. So we're going to do redistricting. You just send the people to people that you guys and just separate this whole. And the reason why they talk about linear descendancy, but everybody, like you said, they don't know. You don't know. Okay, that's your connection. And the difference is somebody with all fear, but like the only, right? You care, you let them know they have that as from Malama the team. So, it won't come. That's cultural, right? So is it appropriate? That's why you come to you guys and ask, yes, but you got the authority. It's not not the agency. It's the council that has the decision making. So you guys need to know it's the council, not the agency. Okay? So that way you keep getting on. It's a good thing. You guys gotta have the discussion. But you cannot bring in the AG for that kind of stuff because you gotta think forward, right? You can pop a lot, but they're always changing. And something like you distribute, we blow the whole system out.
So I thought we'll say that when the AG is not present, that we follow kingdom law and not US law.
Well, the reason I brought up the AG is because right now we're only dealing with Apua. So I feel that we should broaden that thing, that whole scope of if you're cultural or not. So, but right now we're only looking at Apua. So if we have some kind of clarification, and the only way, other way is if somebody applies for cultural and only claims the Moku. He doesn't claim the Apua. I'll see if that thing goes through. So you still need some kind of legal advice because they don't want to write the rules. Go ahead, Ini.
No, and just overall, you know, like the language has to reflect English and Hawaiian. So like if we're saying district is Ahupua, I mean, that's not even, that's like saying red is mele mele. Like if they're a color, but that's two different colors, right? So if we're saying district, that's moku. Like that's what it is in Hawaiian. And in Ahupua, you know, just we have this very kind of that picture from middle school of mountain to sea, you know, very, and it's, we all know throughout the islands, Ahupua'as look different, you know, it, you know, and so even that can be kind of hairy when people think they're in an Ahupua'a of this, because I am Mauka to Makai and they're not, because technically this one is more going from east to west instead of Mauka to Makai, you know, and so even it gets a little bit more hairier and more detailed, and so said the moku kind of will cover a larger group, and said that's the word for district. So you got to keep at least the language correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the reason I brought it up is because it said Apua or, and that's what I said. Well, they're not considering Apua or moku. They're saying or district. So that's why I had questions. But anyway, hopefully we get it answered. But right now, I know we sort of just dealing with Apuas, which transitioned from Moku when I first started in on the council. So I don't know how that changed, but it sort of did. Okay. Where am I?
I'm withdrawing my motion.
Okay, communications. Request. Wait, let me get my glasses. Chris by Kiki Aloha, Kikipi, and Keone Kalabe to consult with the Hawaii Island Borough Council to discuss Iwi Kupuna concerns at Kumokai, Kulu'apua, Puna District, TMK 3-1-4-002:092. Discussion, Kiki, Kioni.
Correspondence to finding out actually who is the person responsible for the arena out there and the road. So, see, here's the major barracking plan. So,
I have no idea.
Okay. So, what it is, I got contact with this woman named Lisa C. Oshiro Suganuma, and she is the policy analyst for the Office of Native Hawaiian Relations, the U.S. Department of the Interior. So I got in touch with her because the Department of the Interior is the guys that deal with all federal lands. And the access and everything that go to the people who own parcels out there is actually the road. So the road was actually made for the purpose of the lighthouse. And so in the Barracuda plan, I went to page 45, and inside it tells a history that the lighthouse was first erected in 1928. So from 1928 to present, it's still the United States government and the United States Coast Guard still retains the parcel and the easements in perpetuity. So my simple mind, perpetuity means like forever, but I'm not on the degree or anyone JD degree. So also I'm not economically funded. So utilizing the resources available, trying to make sure that I give you guys all that proper information, I do this inquiry. So I asked this person, this the DOE person in charge of all of this stuff. I write a letter. So my first, and oh, I gotta let you guys know, when I write letters like that, I get assistance because I'm not computer related. So most of my stuff is gonna come from a copying place or somebody else's email. I don't email, I'm gonna just talk on the phone, not talking person. So that's like, so I get, so I remember somebody write for me. And it says, I'm a concerned party, recognized descendant of the cemeteries in Kumukahi. The attach is from Fountain Iolo Hakikipi. He has no email address, so she's telling him that's up. So that's the thing I said I'm doing. And my question was about the Kumukahi, the road and the property being that. I sent her a copy of the quick claim deed that actually was a lease agreement until the thing became a quick claim deed. So the question I asked her about the deeds and another thing that she respond to some of the questions. And her response was, mahalo for your email and copy of the quick claim deed for the United States to the University of Hawaii pertaining to the Ke Kumukahi property on behalf of KTPP. Do you have contact information for me to follow up, or would you please convey the following information and my contact information? The 1988 quick claim deed appears to retain United States title to a 0.129-acre parcel, which may be the present case with the Hawaii County Real Property Tax Records attached. Cannot be relied upon to confirm present title. In the Hawaii County Real Property Tax Office's records online, the 0.129-acre property identified as TMK 31400201 is listed in the United States as its owner.
The University of Hawaii property is identified for tax map P31400202, record attached. The 1988 quick claim deed further retains easements across the University of Hawaii property for the purposes of utility, roadway, and visual easements. Such easements are retained for the benefit of the 0.129-acre property retained by the United States. There are other provisions regarding the application of federal environmental and historic preservation laws to the VH property through 2018. I saw the February 2023 article in which UH President David Lasseter said that the 1999 removal of Ibi Kupuna did not occur on UH property, but rather on property near UH land. Is there information that the Ibi Kupuna were on federal land? I hope this information is helpful. Please call, provide me contact information to follow up. So, I want to center the things from this approved barrier changing plan that shows and give the site number 21794 and 21792 that is located on the village property. But I cannot get a response back from her. So that's why I need consistency from the council.
So what Katie has discovered is that the property at Kumukahi is owned by the United States, not the state, and that the road leading to the lighthouse also in perpetuity belongs to the United States for maintenance, utilities, and that such access is on that road. So to expect what the big picture is, I think, is that this is an ARPA issue. This is of the desecration of the Eden. That if this land does belong to the university, it falls under ARPA and maybe NAGPRA at this point because they still have the EV, the police department. So he would like a letter to be generated from the, if I'm wrong, just from the burial council asking this woman, is it Lisa?
Yes.
Lisa Suganuma, to please respond to the questions about, I mean, she's already just said that the UH president said it was part of the UH property. The burials weren't on the property, but they were on the US property. So Katie needs a letter asking for more details and more information from the Department of Interior to answer the questions on the Kumukahi burial complex and whose responsibility it is to reinter that EV and to help protect and preserve. Am I getting this?
Yes, okay. So we can repeat Jayesha.
Yeah. Any questions?
And we cannot finish our mitigation plan because we got to recognize all the landowners. So Talaga and myself was actually going and having a conversation with the owners that we knew. So that was the owner Ching and his people. But then as the time went by, I started to keep on reading this book. And then I said, like, possibly, while I read them, well, how did they get there? How did the desecration, how do people get access? How and who is responsible? If the landowner, according to our rules, is responsible, then I got to find the landowner. That's why we started going talk to the different landowner, talk to the UH, the living at the landowner. Then find out. Hey, you know what? I started reading the guy's quick claim deed. You know what? The thing never be on quick claim, and they had all these caveats, CCNRs, government code and restrictions. So in the original 1643 violation when it happened with the original MOA with the university, they never like signed. So after I started reading that, I looked, well, you know what? They're supposed to report these things as part of the CCNRs, and they never. They're negligent. So now they let the thing pass and they got a quick claim deed. See it. Who own them? Well, since they even retained that small part, that road is what make me forget to the lighthouse. That part where they tell that one point something, there's still a part of the existing tower that's still a remnant of the decommissioned lighthouse. But still, they retained the property. But the whole thing of getting to the lighthouse started in 1928 on page 45. And if you follow, they will show you, even 1960, when the road was covered by the 1960 flood that took the town of Kahoho, well, they made a new road. That's the road. And they get the road from the Highway 132 out to the crossroads all the way to the lighthouse, made, owned, and retained by the United States of America. So you just the United States of America on the private, I mean, on federal lands, they get all of these protections and things on archaeological sites or like burial sites or what they call sacred sites, which include burials. So then if the rule says the landowner is responsible, then I got to say, okay, well, then this is the landowner that's responsible. Because all those other guys wouldn't be to access their property if this guy never made the road. And if this UH had into their contract on the CCNR that they're supposed to do yearly reporting and doing stuff outside for maintaining the property, they will make the access to UH to UH and take care of properties to open. All these things been going on for years
mm-hmm.
and will continue to go on for years. If I people within the rules, the landowner, who's the landowner? So I ask them, well, you know, the deed says this, you respond that. And when I ask them, you know what, can you tell me specifically what one cover what? It was still retroactive to the time that the road actually been closed, or is it current till now? See? But you know, like answer because she's the Department of Interior in charge of everything.
So how can we help?
But that's why we went formally from the council to ask from the Department of Interior, who is in charge of all of this place, who made the road, and if they still retain the ownership, is that not the responsibility of the United States of America? Then don't we have the same provisions and protections as the American Indians? Because they get some wonderful protection and they get swift enforcement, like National Park. But man, I gotta watch them. Like I say, that's not there. Everybody trying to remediate the county, saying that's not there, but they like access. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, sorry, guys, but you know, I gotta stick with them. This is my football name as far as my career. And that's what I asked him. So if you guys got even letters, fuck with them. I think that's my request, and I think it's appropriate. But like you say, we're here for the Kupuna and for the Iwi. So I'm trying to look at how we can resolve it. This been going over 2 decades. And people just keep on avoiding it. I don't know. I cannot go in. And now I'm council member. But I just want to understand it. And instead that when I ask her like a specific question, she never answered. So I cannot give you guys an answer.
Yeah, I got a question, Kiki. What part of your burial treatment plan are you talking about?
Excuse me?
Are you talking, this whole discussion, has it anything to do, because I get it mixed up with, I thought the land was given to the UH, and now you're saying the feds own part of it, and does that burial treatment plan covers what area or what burials?
I'll answer for him.
Go ahead.
So the road went in to this area to build and construct the lighthouse, which is in the burial treatment plan. It was a Coast Guard lighthouse, so it's a U.S. Project, and they're owning the property. He found a quick claim deed that identifies the United States as being the owners of this road. They put the road in. One of the burials is on the property near the lighthouse, and it's in the BTP.
Okay.
I think it's the burial that was desecrated, where the EV were removed, that the police department still holds 20 years later. Maybe Shifty has it. I'm not sure. So it is connected. It sounds convoluted, but if we had a drawing board and we could put, you know, stack it out and logistically draw out what he's describing. I mean, it took me a couple meetings understand what was going on and what he needs and what he wants. Sometimes it gets a, you know, like it's a shuffle and it's hard to follow. So what I'm thinking is he needs somebody to run the burial council, because we are official, to construct, write, draft a letter to the lady Lisa Suganuma from Department of Interior to ask her to please follow up that we are having issues and concerns trying to resolve the burials that were desecrated there, and who actually has the financial responsibility for responding to the BTP and even all the people that are going by and going to the new beach that's down there that walk past the burials. There's a lot of moving parts, not just the isolated EV, but all of the other things in line that affect the EV. So that's what I think he's trying to say.
I was thinking if, okay, I mean, we all want to be part of the solution. So I was wondering if you can work with Keiki on the letter and then bring it back to the council. We can go over it and fine tune it in whatever way, and then deal with Keiki them again, finalize and then send it off. Hopefully for the answers that you're looking for. But yeah, so anyway, yeah, go ahead, La.
Kea, do we have to make some sort of group to work on this letter? Can Kalena work on it alone with?
The other thing is open to anybody that wants to help her out and work with Keiki. So,
I'm asking more for Sunshine Law. If more than one person, like, you know, do we want to set a group? Or do we want to keep it under two, you know, and do we have, in order for it to come from us, do we have to do what do we formally need to do right now in this meeting?
To meet, if more than two people on council are meeting, then it needs
to be. I understand that part. I just want to make sure that if we're writing the letter from our burial council, I was asking Kea if we need to, do we need to create some sort of permitted interaction group, or is it, and do we need to set some sort of motion to do so?
I think having one person work on it is a lot better. Sunshine Law violation includes emails too. And so, you know, like if I were to send an email to the council with a question and all of you guys started discussing it in the thread, that's actually a violation of Sunshine Law. So I would have Kalena work on it, present it to the council in the meeting, have discussion. If there needs to be changes, at least the very council's opinion was made in public, and then have her go back, revise if need be. That would be the best. And that would be the cleanest and safest way.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure we're good to go on that.
I just wondered if Kalena, did you say you were willing to do that?
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to. Yeah, Kumukahi is in my district. Those are probably my Ibi Kapuna down there. I'm happy to do that.
Perfect. Thanks. Okay, we'll you and Kalena can work on that then, right? And then we can fine tune that thing and hopefully get it off to the right people and hopefully get the answers that we all looking for, especially you guys, you and Keone.
Try to have something for the next month's meeting. Okay, put it on the agenda or something if we need to.
Okay. We good? Right. Okay, the next HIBC meeting is Thursday, February 15th, 2024 at 9:30. Do you have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn our meeting today.
Second.
Just a little side announcement, just so you guys know, Hirano, our old history and culture branch chief, retired. Last day was December 29th, so... throughout this year, I think we're going to be in the process of finding a new branch chief at some point. But I know some of you guys reach out to him every now and then. So I just wanted to let you know he retired. last year.
Well, he never really retired. I just seen him on the news the other day, protecting his family graves down in Little Wallow. So he's getting active again. Yeah. So anyway, motion to adjourn by Kalena, second by whoever.
Trayvon.
Somebody.
Whoever. That guy down there.
Yeah, the guy back there. Anyway, and another thing, but before we leave, Gail, try and get the hard copies out earlier then.
Yeah, sorry about that. I have it here.
Yeah. You gotta vote, yeah.
But like I said, if you just want an agenda sheet, it's no problem for me. But it's when you guys started sending like BTP plans and stuff. There's a whole lot of copies you got to make. So anyway, let's just work on that a little better. All right, gang. Hey, thanks a lot for everything. And
we gotta vote. Oh,
wait, Elena.
Vote.
Oh, vote. Go ahead. All in favor, say aye.
Bye. Right. Bye. Bye.
Hi. Okay, hello. Pass.